Welcome back to the Jim Davis Show. 8 o'clock, hour two, a B team edition. Buckeye Baked Goods with you here in for Jim. Jim takes a lot of vacation because he gets a lot of vacation.
This was kind of last minute, wasn't it?
Kind of, sort of, a little bit. Like, I had a good idea, but I figured that I would be in on the Monday.
Well, you were going to be here either way.
Yeah, but I figured I would be hosting on the Monday. Yeah, there's a good chance usually April, May, Jim takes a Monday here or there just because there's a lot of things going on around these parts. But also because we're in the run-up to the busy time, it's always helpful to pre-rest instead of post-rest because you have the Junior College World Series coming right around the corner. And speaking of, a new top 10 will be released later on today. Gaston, currently the number one team with Johnson County, Georgia Highlands, Iowa Western, Central Arizona, rounding out the top five. Been trying to nail down John Howie, the Central Arizona head coach, for like 3 weeks now. We have not been able to make contact more than a email version of the old game phone tag. Kids, that's when you would have phones attached to the building with a cord. And you would have to call other people. And if they weren't there, you had to wait. Remember those days? You'd probably don't.
I vaguely remember. Yeah,
that's the sort of thing that would happen back in the olden times in the late 1900s. So, anyway. There's that. You can get your thoughts in on the Chick-fil-A. It's not sponsored anymore. If you'd like to sponsor the text line, 970-254-2100 is the number you could call. Talk to any one of our fine sales associates back there. Sorry, marketing reps, they like to be called. You can do that. You can get your thoughts in on whatever we've been talking about. 970-242-1340. That is the text line, and that is the phone line. And right now, we will just get started.
The latest on the Broncos and the league. It's Around the NFL on the Jim Davis Show.
Well, the draft is in the rearview mirror, and before anybody ever plays a down, ESPN's already got some of their internet talking heads debating the NFL draft. Stefania Bell, her favorite pick in the draft, she says quarterback Quinyon Mitchell to the Philadelphia Eagles. Matt Bowen says Mike Sainristil to the Washington Commanders. Mike Clay says one of my favorite names, Ladd McConkey to the Los Angeles Chargers. Jeremy Fowler says Malik Nabers to the Giants. I loved that pick. That's a great pick.
It's a good pick.
Matt Miller says Rome Odunze to the Bears. Another great pick. Some of the other favorites. Jason Reed says Michael Penix Jr. to the Falcons was his favorite pick.
You know what? Max was talking about this when it was me hosting last Monday.
Mm-hmm.
That he actually really liked the Michael Penix Jr. pick. My only confusion is Michael Penix is 24. You have Kirk Cousins under a 4-year contract, assuming he plays, let's say, at least 3 of those years.
Yeah.
Just to get your money's worth. By the time your supposed heir apparent is ready to go, waiting in the wings, he's going to be 28. 27, 28. Mm-hmm. And I say this as someone who just turned 29, you know. That's for an NFL quarterback.
Old is what you're saying, huh?
For an NFL quarterback, that's getting old.
Yeah, it's...
Yes, it's a future plan, but it's really not that much of a future because, you know, we all know the statistic. The NFL career average length is only like 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and maybe Kirk Cousins is a one and done, and that at that point you've wasted God knows how much money if you're Atlanta. Money that could have been spent, by the way, picking up pieces to help you win if your quarterback was Kirk Cousins or Michael Penix Jr.
It goes against all conventional thinking.
That's where I agree with you.
Like, I like Michael Penix Jr.
So do I.
I like him as a first-round pick.
I wanted the Broncos to have him.
To that particular team, that is a major question mark. That's a major head-scratcher. I like, because you bring up a point. Okay, so, and let's juxtapose this with the team that drafted in the first round. Let's use the Broncos because we happen to reside in Bronco country.
Mm-hmm.
So, the best time it's kind of been shown to win is on those rookie contracts for the quarterback because there's a scale. They're slotted, and you have a lot more money to build the team around your quarterback. Now, with the salary cap going up and up and up and up, it's not as crucial, but it still is nice to have more money than less money, which is stupid obvious. So you give at least $100 million guaranteed to Kirk Cousins. It's a four-year contract. Say he doesn't fully play this year. Maybe he's still coming back from the injury. Do you run the risk of Michael Penix Jr. being great and still have to hold on and still have to pay Kirk Cousins that money to sit on the bench? Okay, so scrap that. Say that's not how it works. Kirk Cousins, good to go to start the season. Okay.
All right.
So Kirk Cousins is Kirk Cousins. He goes out there. It's a pretty good season. You know, he has an average Kirk Cousins season, which is about, let's say, 263 yards per game, which my math, which is always kind of, you know, janky, is a 4,500. Say he has 4,500-yard season, and he throws 30 touchdowns and 10 picks. We get into the playoffs. You don't really go anywhere, but you're in the conversation. Say you win the division. Because Kirk Cousins is a pretty good regular season quarterback. Now you're going into year two of Kirk Cousins. Year two of Michael Penix Jr.'s rookie contract. Now what do you do? So say you're right. Kirk Cousins plays 3 years of that four-year deal. Now you're in Jordan Love territory to where the Broncos, who I said we were going to pull into this analogy, and we will right here. They have Bo Nix. Whether or not he's week one starter is inconsequential. He's playing at some point this year because the Broncos' answer is not Kirk Cousins. Zach Wilson.
Blech.
So he's going to play at some point this year. Then he's got all next year, all the following year, and then still one more season before you have to commit to that fifth-year option. Actually, I think you have to do it after year three. You have to pick it up. I believe that's the case. I didn't look it up, just spitballing. So, if Kirk Cousins plays all 3 years, the Falcons are now with a decision of a guy they haven't seen play to pick up that third-year option. You can see him in practice all the time. Johnny Manziel had good practices. So, what do you do if you're the Falcons? It just did not make sense.
It didn't.
In the situation because you might have to pick up Michael Penix's fifth-year option, sight unseen, essentially, in live-action games. And then at that point, you might have to do this all over again because at the end of that fifth year, Michael Penix Jr. is going to be pushing 30. Then if you sign him to an extension halfway through that, he's going to be pulling 30.
Yeah.
Whereas Bo Nix, for all of the warts that his ability and the lack of team around him bring, he is going to be still entering into, you would hope, the front edge of his prime years, although he's 24 too, but he would at least play for a couple years before that third contract comes up. Penix and Bo Nix are the same age. But the situation is completely different.
It's very, because Bo Nix is probably going to start this year.
Michael Penix Jr., you don't know what you're going to get. Bo Nix, you have an idea of what you're going to get, but the team around him is not very good.
And again, it gets back to if you're Atlanta and you think, well, we need to draft a quarterback for the future, why'd you sign Kirk Cousins to a four-year, $100-plus million contract in the first place? It's just, it's decision-making that is not computing.
Man, it was panicky. It feels panicky, doesn't it?
And I get that the draft class next year for quarterback is going to be very, very shallow when you think about the quarterbacks that were taken this year and who's going to be available next year. It's night and day contrast. It is not going to be a good class next year. It's going to be like on the same level as like Kenny Pickett. You know, that class last year, that couple years ago. And yeah, panicky is the best word for it, because it just felt like we've got to do something to sustain long-term success without realizing that you're playing the short game right now. You're playing we signed a quarterback in Kirk Cousins to win now. We've got Bijan Robinson. We've got, you know, all this other talent around. We've bolstered the defense to a certain degree. We've got a new head coach. We're trying to win now. You can't play the short game. You know, it's like, all right, I'm going to line up to putt, but first let me polish my driver or go get a new driver at the pro shop before I line up for this, like, 8-foot putt. It doesn't make sense.
It was not a fantastic decision on the Falcons' part. And I'm not going to say to a lesser extent, because it's really apples and oranges, but the Broncos did acquire a quarterback before drafting another quarterback. You know, so like, I think Ben DiNucci is gone at some point. See ya, we hardly knew ye. I don't know where Jared Stidham is on this roster, but I just think this goes to show you can't take anything the coaches say at face value. Around the league, you just got to kind of be like, all right. So, yeah. You know, just kind of let it hang out there. As we go around the NFL, it's Buckeye, it's Baked Goods with you here on the Jim Davis Show, a B-team edition of the Jim Davis Show. They're still hashing out the NFL schedule. Schedule release is coming up, well, I believe this month, I think, is the NFL schedule release day.
I think it might even be fairly soon, like within the next week or two.
So let's look a little quick Googling that the NFL schedule release, as we have to keep clicking through. No, I don't want to see the NFL schedule release.
Says it is coming in May, according to the NFL website.
How is the NFL website giving you that information, but it is not giving me that information? The NFL doesn't know what's going on with NFL media, because they've shuttered NFL Total Access. They're still saying goodbye to NFL Good Morning Football without knowing what exactly is going to happen to it going forward. But the NFL schedule is going to be released allegedly May the 9th. So that is coming up on Thursday.
That's what Fox Sports says.
Yeah. So who is... Who's going to be the opener? Is it going to be Kansas City? Obviously. Who is Kansas City going to play?
So,
do we know that?
Well, so
do you have an idea?
These are the opponents that they have so far, mm-hmm, for 2024. At home,
yep,
and this is just the order that I'm seeing it, not the order that it will be, because we don't know. At home, Broncos are going to face your Cleveland Browns.
Yep.
Pittsburgh, Falcons, Panthers, Colts, and then the AFC West, Chiefs, Chargers, Raiders. And then on the road, again, AFC West, Chiefs, Chargers, Raiders, and then they're at Baltimore, at Cincinnati, at Tampa, at New Orleans, at the Seahawks, and at the Jets.
Mm.
That's not a great... The home slate should be okay. Because they'll at least get a win out of the Panthers. That road schedule, though, at Baltimore, that's going to be a murder. And that's going to be one of those 11 o'clock starts, too, I bet you. Mm-hmm. So that's going to suck.
And the order they put them in is going to be huge. If you can alternate, get a couple of good start times in there, you might. But, man, if you got to go back and forth,
well, and
short week here. Ugh.
Well, look at this, too. So you're going to play all the way on the East Coast in Baltimore. And then you're going to play all the way on the West Coast in Seattle and L.A. And then all the way in New Jersey.
Yeah.
You know, that's cross-continental.
That can't be stated enough. You can go to the Pueblo of the East Coast. No offense.
New Jersey.
So, anyway, to start the season, Kansas City, probably going to get that Thursday night opener right here on the Team Sports Network. Here are their home opponents for the banner raising. Broncos, Chargers, Raiders, Saints, Bucks, Texans. Sneaky intrigue there with maybe is CJ Stroud next? CJS NXT. Anyway, there's that one. Then the Bengals or the Ravens? Your NBC Thursday night season opener. It's those three teams. It's one of those three teams, isn't it? Texans, Bengals, or Ravens? Which one would you rather see? As a Bronco fan.
As a Bronco fan.
For the season opener, the curtain jerker, if you will, the banner raising ceremony. You don't have to watch the banner raising. But as far as the game goes, I gotta say Texans. Because I don't really go out of my way to watch the Bengals or the Ravens.
No.
But Texans. That would be fun.
That would be fun.
An interesting matchup.
It would be interesting. I do think, though, if Joe Burrow is back fully healthy, I would not be shocked if the league wanted to schedule a Mahomes v. Burrow early season matchup to kind of start the ball rolling.
You imagine they raise that banner and Joey B goes in there and beats them.
That'd be hilarious.
That would be awesome, wouldn't it? It'd be
kind of like what the Lions did, except then, of course, the Chiefs won the Super Bowl anyway.
Yeah, so maybe not. Maybe you want a nice, easy one. Maybe you roll in the Saints and just have the Chiefs pummel them into submission the first week of the season.
Maybe.
That, my dear friends, is how I think the Saints season is going to go. And also that
Sorry,
is,
New Orleans.
Yeah. Around the NFL on the Team Sports Network. It is a Monday. It's about 8:20. And as always on a Monday,
let's play the number game on the Jim Davis Show.
Let's play the number game on the Jim Davis Show. Your chance to win today with our good friends over at High Country Beverage. Mm-hmm. We got a case of Coors, the banquet beer. Obviously, you got to be over the age of 21 since it's beer. And if you've won within the last 2 weeks, please sit it out. And if you don't want the prize, don't play.
Yeah, but that's that easy.
If you want the prize, if you want to get in the never-ending contest, if you are over the age of 21, and if you've not won in the last 2 weeks, play the number game on the text line. The answer is always a number. So if you text in with the Denver Broncos,
you're going to be wrong.
That's wrong. But it is a Broncos question today. Randy Gradishar Day was Friday, 5-3, since he is going into the Hall of Fame. And Gradishar, in his career, 20 interceptions. How many interception return yards did Randy Gradishar have in his career?
Ooh.
How many interception return yards did Randy Gradishar have in his career? First correct text, 970-242-1340. We'll get a case of Coors, the banquet beer, from our friends at High Country Beverage.
Do you want to give a range? Because this is
it's
an obscure-ish number.
It's, I'll say this, it's between 100 and 1,000.
Okay, that narrows it down to a lot. Let's say
it's three digits.
Between 250 and 500.
That's good. That's actually a really good range.
So now we only had 250 pile members guess a different yardage each.
One of them would get it.
One of them would get it before the end of the show, which ends at 10 this morning. It's a B-Team edition. It's a B-Team Jim Davis show. Buckeye and Baked Goods. More to come. We'll take a look at a little good call, bad call. Maybe talk a little more Avs, Nuggets. That's all coming up. It's the Jim Davis show, B-Team edition on the Team Sports Network.
Yeah, I think they're like the best on the radio.
At least at the pro level, the best of the best.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome back to The Jim Davis Show. Buckeye and Baked Goods with you here, a B-Team edition in for Jim. Jim is back tomorrow. He takes a lot of vacation because he gets a lot of vacation. I'm just perusing the Denver Post.
Oh.
And the tide is turning in old Buff land, the grazing area for the CU Buffaloes.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Sean Keeler, polarizing around these parts, if you will.
What did he say now?
Let's see.
What stick does he have today that he wants to rattle?
The headline.
Okay.
If Coach Prime doesn't win, CU Buffs coach Deion Sanders is just Ed McCaffrey at UNC all over again.
What? No.
Hold on.
No.
Wait. Hold on.
All right.
Now, this is quoting from the article. Not long ago, a big name, a football legend, was hired to make flowers bloom in a coaching graveyard. He's a Hail Mary, they said. So crazy it just might work, they said. Why not? The school's tried everything else, they said. He won big at his previous job. He had a plan. He made his kid the starting quarterback. He had another kid around constantly. His family took over the place. That was cool because, again, this was a big name, a winner beloved by millions. Then he lost players at first, then coaches, then games, then more players. Could that be Coach Prime? Sounds a lot like Coach Prime, doesn't it? That's Ed McCaffrey. Yeah. They went from a 2-win program to a 3-win program, and it was everybody else's fault. The players didn't want to suck it up. The school didn't really help out a lot. It's really not his kid's fault under center. It was everyone else around him. Now, this is still Ed McCaffrey, not Deion. But what does it sound a lot like?
Yeah, well, it sounds like...
Who does that sound like?
It sounds like some people's narratives about Coach Prime.
Some people... It sounds like Coach Prime. You can leave all of the middle part out of it. It sounds a lot like Coach Prime. There is no other people's narratives. If you just wait 5 minutes, Coach Prime will tell you all of this himself. Like, oh, these darn kids, they all quit. It's like, I didn't meet but with 5 of them, and they all quit. My, like, okay. 75 kids quit at the same time. Uh-huh. Yeah. If you believe that, Coach Prime, I got a bridge I want to sell you. I got some oceanfront property just north of Vegas to sell you. But this Keeler article talks about kind of the prime effect before the prime effect, the Eddie effect. McCaffrey drew cameras, eyeballs, money that never would have sniffed Greeley otherwise. He's like, consider some things that are not a perfect parallel because Shedeur Sanders is a much more gifted quarterback than Dylan McCaffrey. That tracks. That's different. But the superficial, the circus, it's pretty much the same.
I disagree.
Okay.
And, well, I get the... Yes, there... I'll say this. Yes, there is a circus, but to compare the two circuses is like comparing Elitch Gardens to Disney World Tokyo. Yes, they are both theme parks, but they're not on the same level. They're not the same. Ed McCaffrey's Circus in Greeley is not nearly as big as the circus that Dion has had in Boulder. And that's by design.
But you know that's not good, right? Like, it may be Elitch and Tokyo Disney, but it's also 3-9 and 4-8 are both getting mugged in the parking lot. It's just the backdrop looks maybe a little better in Boulder than in Greeley. Like, in Greeley, the backdrop is, hey, give me all your money, and behind you is Nebraska. No offense.
Yeah.
In Boulder, it's, hey, give me all your money. This is a holdup. Stick them up. But the backdrop is the Flatirons, which looks better. But it's really kind of, the parallels are somewhat alarming. Ed McCaffrey hired his 28-year-old son who had no coaching experience to be his offensive coordinator. This year, the Buffs will trot out. You know what's worse than no coaching experience? Not being very good in your resume.
Pat Shurmur,
I'm looking at you. Let's see. Deion Sanders also is debuting a defensive coordinator this fall that has not called plays. Ever. Anywhere. No matter what side of the ball. And much like USC, so far at Colorado, swapping your malcontents for someone else's malcontents, don't fix the chemistry. So, USC, they saw the bump from 2-9 to 3-8. CU saw the bump from 1-11 to 4-8. It's starting to feel like, interesting. But it's not so much the article that gets me. It's the fact that Keeler's turned on Coach Prime even before year two, which means that even you too can turn on Coach Prime.
I doubt that. It's going to take a lot.
Remember, this is on tape.
No, I know. And look, I'll say this. It's going to take a lot. It is going to take a lot.
You're a way bigger CU fan than I am. You're a way bigger Coach Prime fan than I am.
I'll say this. So, like, my frame of reference, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I was not alive for the prime era of Buffs.
I see what you did there. This is the prime era.
You know. I know what you're talking about. I was not alive when they, quote unquote, won the national championship or split the national championship at Georgia Tech. I did not watch
fifth
down.
There's half the trophy sitting there. It's quote unquote.
You know. Yeah. I didn't witness much of the Cordell Stewart era. My earliest remembering of watching football, organized football, and actually enjoying it is right around middle school, 2007, 2008. You know who was quarterbacking and coaching at CU then? It was another father-son duo, Dan and Cody Hawkins.
Yeah, and didn't that work out great?
Oh, it was fantastic.
Isn't putting your kid in the... And putting your kid in as the starting quarterback, isn't that great?
Yeah, if you're Shador. Not exactly if you're Dan or Cody Hawkins. I don't even know what I think last I checked, I think Cody is like some coach at some FCS school or something. You know, so my point being, Buffs fans that are clamoring for the glory days of McCartney and they're gonna come back and win a national championship because Coach Prime is... I'm like, I would love that. I kind of just want to be relevant. As a Buffs fan, my expectations, because my frame of reference for my enjoyment of Buffs football is very slim. You know, it's a little bit Rockies-esque.
Okay.
I just want them to be relevant. And right now the Rockies are irrelevant. They're done. they're not going to be, you know, last year's highlight was getting the All-Star Game MVP out of Ezekiel Tovar. I don't even think that's right.
Leas Diaz.
Leas Diaz, thank you.
A year or two ago.
You know, that's about it.
So, I get that. I understand that the bar is low and you want the team to be relevant. Doesn't winning and the culture that is winning and fostering that culture, doesn't that help more with your relevancy long term than just the guy at the front of the program? Can you tell me the last three full-time head coaches at Oregon?
Dan Lanning.
I'll give you a hint. This guy went 9-4, 12-2, 10-4. Bowl game, bowl game, bowl game. Won the Rose Bowl before moving on.
It wasn't Chip Kelly, was it?
No, he was five coaches ago.
Is it the guy who went to Florida?
Four coaches ago. Well, I mean, the state's right, yeah.
I'm drawing a blank.
If you're looking for Mario Cristobal, you're
Mario
correct.
Cristobal.
And before that was Mark Helfrich.
Yeah, that one.
11 wins, 13 wins, and then 9 wins. Would you not say that Oregon's relevant as a college football team?
No, that's fair. That's fair.
So, and again, you as a Buff fan, me as an Ohio State fan, I know based on the history of the coaches there, let's take Urban Meyer out of it because he is very polarizing, and this analogy wouldn't work because of how polarizing he is. But Luke Fickell, Ryan Day, Jim Tressel, hell, even John Cooper. At some point in my Ohio State fandom, if they were to list everyone responsible for the losing, their name would be ahead of mine. I don't feel that's the case for Coach Prime. Your name will be ahead of his when he lists off who's to blame for his maybe failures at CU. Is that worth the relevancy? The fact that the coach who's responsible won't take any responsibility. Because he's not. None of this is his fault.
Or so he says.
Well, no, that's exactly what he says. Pretty much. Like, it's everybody else's fault.
I will say this. People who know this program will know that my Buffs fandom and my admitted probably drinking of the Kool-Aid. Okay, fair.
You're going to be fine with Coach Prime blaming you when you had nothing to do with the program. That's what you're trying not to say. You know, I feel like I could be the D block of a cop crime show right now. Right before they crack the suspect and send him off to Sam Weatherson. I feel like I'm right there.
Yeah.
Do I need to turn your light up brighter just to get you a little sweat?
Nope. Oh, we're good. We're good.
Because, and that's one of my main problems. And it's all kind of the same thing. It's just different tentacles. It's the octopus of Coach Prime. Like, at some point, you have to fall on the sword. We can blame Dick Monfort and Bill Schmidt and Jeff Breidich and everybody that's with the Rockies for the losing. But at some point, it's Bud Black's fault, too. For either continuing to go to Justin Lawrence or continuing to bat whoever, wherever, is the reliance on Chris Bryant at times. Why he's hitting third or fourth, I have no idea, when he should be hitting seventh or eighth. Some of that's on Bud Black. And he would blame himself before he got to me in the attendance call, roll call of who's to blame for the Rockies' failings. It just feels like the last name on the list is going to be Deion Sanders. And right above him, next to last, is going to be Shedeur Sanders. No matter how poorly he plays, it won't be his kid's fault. It'll be everybody else's fault. And that's a problem. That's going to be one of the downfalls of this program. I had somewhat optimistic going in, except for the way he handled almost everything. I was like, maybe the team will be better. I just don't. They got out hot. They just, man, they fizzled at the end, and it's not going to get any easier in the Big 12. I just don't see this ending well.
You know what? Let's say it doesn't end well. This, for now, the drugs are still in effect. The come down will suck. But that's a future me problem.
So I go from a detective to a DARE officer. Don't do drugs, kids. Who are just as important in the grand scheme of things. Don't do drugs, kids. You're probably too young to remember that.
Yeah.
You have no idea what you're going to have.
We did not have DARE when I was in school.
D period, A period, R period, E period. Look that up.
That was a Nancy Reagan thing, wasn't it? That was like her
sure.
program?
I think that's what the R stands for. It's Reagan. Actually, I can't. I don't know that at all. I didn't go to those classes or those symposiums or whatever. There's a lot in the old schoolyard that I didn't actually attend. So, you know, that's how you end up in radio, kids. Anyway, did we ever get a winner for the number game?
We did.
We did. All right. Let me ramp and vamp until I get to this.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the contest.
It's another winner on the Team Sports Network.
Bob correctly identifying 335 yards of interception return yardage for one Randy Gradishar.
Very nice. Speaking of Randy Gradishar, Lynn. He's also ahead of Deion Sanders on the list of people who's to blame for Buffalo's failings in Boulder. And he's maybe never even been to Boulder, which is unfortunate. He should. It's a very nice town. They got a lovely mall there, from what I understand. All right, we'll take a break. Come back with Prep Stars and Mighty Mavs on the other side of a break. Hey, you know what, Pyle? If you want to play, you got a Mighty Mav or a Prep Star you want to give a little shout-out to if we miss, hit us up on the text line, 970-242-1340.
Craptastic.
That's just crap.
The team presents The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
No one can stop us now.
It's time to let the stars shine. It's Prep Stars on The Jim Davis Show.
Yes, it is Prep Stars and Mighty Mavs here on The Jim Davis Show. And my first Prep Star on the male side, I'm going to Grand Junction Boys Lacrosse, Tristan Brinton. 3 goals, 3 assists in the Tigers' 12-10 win over Fordham Monument. I believe that was Friday.
Sounds right.
Tristan Brinton. And then on the female side, again, Ellie Duncan for the Montrose Girls Soccer Team. 2 goals in their 2-0 win over Palisade.
My boy prep star for this week going with Central's Rylan Nostrand. Always continues to impress. 9 strikeouts as a pitcher, 2 RBI as a hitter in their bounce back win. And then for my girl prep star, I'm going Central track and field. Sage Segrist setting a school record in the 800 meter, 2:14.37, and was top 5, I think maybe top 3 in 4A after the Southwestern League track and field championships.
Nice. And it is time right now for Mighty Mavs.
The best of CMU sports. It's Mighty Mavs on the Jim Davis Show.
I'm also going to the track area. Christina Palmer for the Mavericks track and field team. She won the discus throw. Back-to-back days at the CSU Pueblo Last Chance meet. And she's got a national championship qualifying throw mixed in there as well. And on the men's side, James Steinke, 4 goals in their season finale win over Colorado College. The difference, 4 goals, 17-13.
For my male Mighty Mav going on the baseball diamond, Colby Felix with a fantastic Friday. Doubleheader combined 10 for 11 with 10 RBI for Colby Felix here.
He had 10 hits in 14 innings.
That's pretty good. For my female Mighty Mav, I'm going with Carson Dickey for CMU women's lacrosse. She had 5 goals against UCCS in their RMAC semifinal win. Unfortunately, they fell to Regis in the championship game.
That's Prep Stars and Mighty Mavs. And Steve on the text line, so what's up here with your weather guy? His kids say he's announcing extra. Maybe the wind just got him. You know, maybe the wind is putting some more in his sails. Do not read if it will hurt feelings. Oh, well.
That's, too late for that.
Yeah, too late. I'm Ron Burgundy. I'll just read it. Anyway, we talked about the Mavericks baseball team, RMAC tournament coming up Wednesday at the Diamond of the Bergman Sports Complex. The softball squad is already one step deeper into the playoffs.
Playoffs.
And the South Central Regional Tournament has been released. The top seed, West Texas A&M, naturally. They will host South Central Region 1, taking on Regis. The other game in that region is Angelo State against Oklahoma Christian. South Central Regional 2 looks like it's going to be at the University of Texas at Tyler. They'll take on St. Mary's of Texas. And then Colorado Christian will take on CMU, the 6th seed. Yes.
By the way, you guys are going to have Mav Day tomorrow, I understand.
Yeah, from what I understand, we'll have Mav Day tomorrow, usually every Tuesday at 9 o'clock, these parts. Maybe the South Central Region 2-bound Mercedes Boti will join us on the Jim Davis Show. The possibly hosting RMAC tournament, or not possibly hosting, they are hosting.
They are
the baseball.
Hosting.
Sorry, I was like, that sounded weird. They are hosting, but possibly the head coach, the skipper himself of CMU taking on the rest of the RMAC. So Wednesday, here's how it shapes up for the RMAC tournament. First game, now this is according to the RMAC website. So if our buddy Dave Yonke's listening, I didn't get these wrong on purpose. I'm Ron Burgundying the website.
This is what the RMAC says.
Yes. First game will be Colorado School of Mines, the 3 seed, taking on Adams State, the 4 seed. Game number 2, which is listed as game number 1, but starting after game number 2, which doesn't make any sense, is the number 1 seed CMU taking on the number 6 seed CSU Pueblo. Then game 3 is the night game starting at with 2 seed Regis against 5 seed MSU Denver. So this is what the RMAC website says. Game 1 is at 3 o'clock. Game 2 is at 11 a.m. And game 3 is at 7 o'clock. That can't exist in that fashion. It just doesn't work that way.
No.
Game 1, usually first.
Usually.
Usually first. So hopefully that is either going to be, you know, brushed up a little bit. So, or somebody will explain in very small words and maybe with color pictures.
Oh, we got a text.
Oh, did we? Let me.
From our good buddy Dave.
That info is correct. Long story on the game numbers. Okay, perfect. All right, that's our friend, sports information director. Assistant AD, did I see on the byline for Dave Young?
Yes.
Nice.
Athletic director for communication,
okay.
I believe is the official title.
We'll have to ask Dave if that bump in title comes with a bump somewhere else. You know,
he deserves it.
Yeah, absolutely. That guy is everywhere.
He saved our high school broadcast a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, and unfortunately, he didn't get paid any extra for that. He just get paid the regular amount because IT rhymes with free. But yeah, so the Mavs in game 1 will play 2nd on Wednesday. Game time tentatively set for 3 o'clock against CSU Pueblo. That game will be on the Team Sports Network. Hopefully, fingers crossed. with a 2:45 pregame coverage because we got to fingers crossed and hopefully in the whole thing because
playoffs.
Playoffs, which I don't think the Nuggets game 3 is Friday.
Yes.
So it takes 3 days to get to Minnesota because they're walking apparently. And the Avs game 1 is tomorrow night. So game 2 would not be Wednesday. So we should be all free and clear, but just tentatively, again, keep it on the Team Sports Network, the Jim Davis Show, our website, our sports updates.
All that good stuff.
All that good stuff for the official location on the airwaves for that particular deal. We appreciate Dave taking time out of his morning to listen to us two knuckleheads talk about sports.
Exactly.
Hey, it's a lot of fun. You may indeed get dumber if you listen to us, the two of us specifically, for the next hour and 8 minutes, because that's usually how it works, right? We're not here to prop things up. We're here to tear things down, like Coach Prime's tenure at CU. It's all content, right? You can't say that on the radio.
No, I cannot.
You absolutely cannot say that. It is an interesting article that Sean Keeler wrote. And he's probably not going to be allowed to ask Deion any questions anymore because Deion yelled at Ed Werder for something Ed Werder didn't even do. So we're worried for Sean Keeler's professional safety, his work ability if he ever sets foot in Boulder again. He's going to have Deion and Shiloh and Shadur and Deion Jr.
You know
and
what,
DeAndre,
though?
They're all going to show up in Coupe de Ville.
You know what, though? Sean Keeler, I'll give him credit where credit's due. He is able to unite Buffs and Rams fans in their mutual absolute hatred of him.
Absolutely. He's bringing people together. Can't say that about a lot of people, especially now. But Sean Keeler's bringing people together. Next thing you know, he's going to take a run at the Broncos and Sean Payton. Which, I mean, you're going to have to get in line there.
I was going to say.
That's so. And then don't have to worry about getting in line at Dove Valley because you won't be able to be allowed in there either. And say, you know what? I can be critical, ask tough questions, and not actually have to go outside to work because no one will let me show up and credential me.
Well, look.
That's perfect.
Well, look.
That's actually a great scam.
Well, look.
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 Right.
Right.
Oh, that's Bud Black. Sorry. Look. Okay.
Right.
Well, look. You know, it's hard. Look. I love some of those press conferences with the crutch words because Sean Payton is very stilted speech pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And Bud Black is very folksy, but they still have kind of the same look. Right.
Right.
You know,
well,
baseball's hard, right? Well, I don't know. I'm in radio. It's like, of course it's hard. That's why I stopped playing at 15. Like once I saw curveball, I went Pedro Serrano. I can no hit curveball, and I peaced out. So yeah, baseball is a little hard. Coming up next hour, we're going to talk more about random things. We have the Avs on to the next round. They're taking on the Dallas Stars. Got the Nuggets, Minnesota, game number 2. Wrigley Field, Colorado sports trivia on the way. Has to do with the Colorado Avalanche and the playoffs.
We should probably also do good call, bad call at some point, too, shouldn't we?
Yes, I completely skipped that. That was supposed to be last segment, and I completely skipped good call, bad call. That'll be coming up next hour, as will some four down territory. I did not read the rundown, so thank you for that. I appreciate that.
It's all good.
That's an E, me, with the...
I'm a dumbass.
Yep, thank you very much, Charles Barkley. Hour 3... right around the corner, it's a B-Team edition of the Jim Davis Show. Buckeye and Baked Goods with you here. Get your thoughts in. You can call. You can text 970-242-1340. We'll be back with hour number 3, which will include a postponed good call, bad call, four down territory, Wrigley Field, Colorado sports trivia, and a whole lot more. Third hour on the way, it's a B-Team edition of the Jim Davis Show on the team.